Hear me better? All right, I can hear myself now. All right, thank you, Dr. Stan Horan, for your special music and such touch your heart. And so likewise, my dear friend, and also my brother in Christ, and the brother Charles. And it's wonderful to know you through the IMB as a trustee. And also my dear friend here sitting in the back is Dr. John Adams. And he loves the Union University. And he served well, and I'm so grateful to know him as a trustee in the International Mission Board. And I know he loved Union University, all of you, and many of you are ministered by him. And I know that you love him and pray for him in recovery, his in illness. And we pray for him. Thank you, Brother John, we have take time to come. And also, Brother Todd, Brad, I want to thank you, be part of the fellowship. And it's wonderful to know you, what you do, and the many students, and what you do here at university, many students receive such the impact and the youth ministry at the university students here. I'm so glad to be here, and I know that our president, Dr. is not here, but yet extend his greeting and to me, to all of you here. It's so glad to be here at Union University. I heard much about this university through fellow IMB and the trustee, as well as the missionaries. And they brag about this university and say that my children study, prepare for the ministry at the Union University. There was so much brag about. That's why I heard about this great university. Not only that, I heard that this is the first Southern Baptist college and university, and going back through 1823. And it's a wonderful thing, a tradition, and all that the people in the past before you and what they left the legacy for this university. It's an amazing grace that you're here and to continue to carry the legacy to the next generation. I'm glad to be here to be part of this the ministry here and today. My people and are praying for me this very hour for university, and I ask people Sunday, said, please pray for me as I speak to students and the faculty members. I also want to thank you for faculty members, staff, administrator, and friends, supportive friends, and the family members that relate to Union University, and all the students about it. I want to thank you for what you do, be part of this great community of faith to continue to stand and support the work of God together. It was some 30 years ago that I was called into the ministry. Then I was in Hawaii as students. I never dreamed or thought about the one day that I'll be in a continued ministry as it is. All I can summarize in one word, it says, is amazing grace to be in the ministry. Our God is a wonderful God, loving and compassionate God, and he led me and in the ministry. From Hawaii, then he led me to Texas, to Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary, and the mid-70s, 30-some years ago. And continuing that from there, and working at the church in Los Angeles, and started a new church in Berkeley. For the last 26 years, God led me to the university community, starting church in Berkeley, Stanford, Harvard, MIT, and many other universities in the Boston area, the BU, BC, Tufts, Wellesley, Brandeis, and all the schools and many students from all over the world to prepare for life. I really believe the college life is the most important time. You prepare and you study for the future life. And you continue to go on beyond the college into professional the degrees, as well as your grad school, the later in the ministry. What you can do in next generation, you can change the lives of people. It's big great things. Now, how many of you have seen the movie called Amazing Grace? Let me see your hands. Now, if you have not seen yet, I encourage you, you must go and see it. It is one of the most, in a movie that was truly touched the lives of people. People went there, of course, I saw the movie. And how the one person's life, the William, the Woodforth, they can change the course of history in his generation. By the amazing grace, he served all his lifetime and to be there in the House of Commons in England. By this man's conviction, and a Christian value. He changed and the ending of the slave trade in England. It's amazing grace. How one man can touch the lives of people. How important you as a person, so important, the minister to touch the change of course of a life. It's such a blessing. It's such a blessing, and that is how that the God has such a the grace. I want to speak about the Saul. Saul experienced the amazing grace. He was a persecutor, as we know, the scripture just read. And he was against the church. He did not know who was the Christ. He was had a zeal and for his own religion, but he did not really have a heart for Christ. But yet we know the life is how changed it. By this man, the Saul, whose name changed to Paul, the life hasn't changed. The one was a persecutor, but he became preacher of God's word. He was one of the greatest missionaries in his time. He was a writer, theologian himself, and he was a church planter in his time. God blessed him and his ministry. So such a man like was against the church, but yet he became the builder of the church, the life of Paul. So today I will speak about based upon this text. You know, I want you to see yourself that you are here, that because of God's grace. Life itself is such a wonderful thing when we are in Christ Jesus. The question we can ask ourselves, what is amazing grace is all about? Why do people talk about amazing grace? Why that we sing the amazing grace? What is all the amazing grace about? I want to share with you briefly .edu. Wonder what is .edu? You know, union.edu, you okay, the email, that's easy to remember, so I want the .edu. The E, excite to hear God's voice. D, desire to see God's people. The U, urgent to preach the God's word. Can you remember that, .edu? No? I know that you're smart, the Union University, you're smart. You can remember .edu. So I want to speak about the E, excite to hear God's voice. I want you to look at the verse 10 again, the scripture that I read to you. Now in Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias, here I am, Lord, he said. You know, the Bible says, the Lord said, God spoke to Ananias. And throughout the Bible, over and over again, you see that how God spoke to people like Noah to build the ark in the desert for the purpose. And God spoke to Abraham and the promise that one day of his descendants will be in the promised land. And God spoke to Moses in the burning bush to call him. God spoke to Joshua, the conqueror, into the promised land. God spoke to Samuel at the night. Samuel, Samuel, he was still the little boy. He says, here I am. And God spoke. And Samuel, and then continued the prophets, and David, and Solomon, and the disciples. God spoke. That means that God is alive. Because God is alive in our generation, in our time. And that God speaks to us. God spoke to Ananias. Ananias. So God speaks to you. What do you think? If you received a message on cell phone this hour, and that they turn the message and says, I'm President Bush from White House. Now, what would be your reaction? Tell me. You said, well, I'm so disappointed you called me today. Or is it you being excited that he called you? How much more that God, in the creator of the universe, he's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He called you. He called you to be here at the Union University, prepare for the ministry for the next generation. How excited they will be. But yet Ananias kind of reluctant, and they said, oh Lord, you know that this man of Saul, what he had done in the Jerusalem, that he came here, God knows all about that. Knowing all that, God still called Ananias Do you know that God speaks in person? Ananias. That means that God knows the name Ananias, and God knows your name, Tom, Mary, John, Charles. You know, whatever your name will be, God called you by name. So he said, God called Ananias. It was back in the May 10th, 1748. John Newton, when he was born as the captain of a slave ship, at age 11, he was on the voyage with his father, who was a captain of the ship, a slave trade. And he went to the coast sixth voyage, and to the Mediterranean seas. And he kind of did, growing up, the kind of a background, the life, and the how that is mistreating the people. When I was down at 2 years ago, I was in the Gori, island of Gori, in Senegal, West Africa. It's still stand the place. Someone told me that John, you know, Newton was passing by this area. There was still a stand at the house of slave house. And so it tells that the painful memory of a past. And there, John, you know, Newton heard and God spoke to him. So May 10th, considered he was converted. And so he celebrated May 10th every year thereafter. He became the preacher. He became a prolific and a writer of hymns. He wrote about over 280 hymns. And one of the hymns we just sang today, Amazing Grace. How that is amazing grace it is, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Even Apostle Paul himself said in the later days of Romans, and he said, how wretched I am. And John, he heard and he was ministry as even minister. He said, how wretched I am. And then he said, I once was lost and now I'm found, was blind but now I see. And I had the privilege to stand at his graveside at his old church in England one time. Not only God speaks the person, but God waits on your reply. And when God called Moses, Moses said, here I am. And when God has spoken to Isaiah, said, here I am, send me. And so you need to respond to God's call. And here, verse 10, it says, Ananias said, here I am. He responded, he replied to it, how we need to so much reply to the God's call. And because God called you, so you replied, responded to him to come to Union University, prepared for the ministry. And continue on, go beyond after this. David Livingstone, he replied to God's call. David Livingstone, he was growing up in a very poor family. The family, they have lived in one room. Now it turned to be a museum, and now in Grand Street, Scotland. And just a few years ago, I had the privilege to be there with my wife to visit the place. A small, tiny room that he has his family stayed together. But early from childhood, he had desired interest to reading the books. And he read many books. And then early years that he went to medical school, he got a degree. And age 27, he said, here I am, send me. So he went to, God sent him to Africa as a missionary. He spent all of his lifetime until his death in age 60 on his knee in Zambia. He lived his life in that and at the hardship of Africa. And there he has been to preach the gospel to the hearts of those people. They may know the truth. They may see the light of Christ. And David Livingstone, he continued his work in the caring that the people were sick. And he mapped the Africa. He had a wonderful ministry. He just went a couple of times, he came to his homeland, to Scotland, and to tell about the condition of Africa, get people's interest in the missions in Africa. And there are many people went to Africa because of David Livingstone. Because of one man, he said, here I am. I'm ready to be. Are you ready to be where God will call you in the ministry or the place that God wants you to be? This is the place that God wants you to be here. So you responded. So you are to study hard and to do your best. Last 26 years, I was involved in campus ministry within the university, local church-based campus ministry. With my wife, she has a vital role in the ministry. to work with the many people to train up the leaders for next generation. We need the leaders for next generation. You are the one who God brought you for the purpose in His grace. Be faithful to Him, His calling. Study hard, discipline yourself, and all the physically, and academically, and spiritually disciplined. And how that Union University faculty members, administrators, and they want to help you to be the one that the God's men and women in our time, in our generation. And we know that how the David Livingstone, he wrote the many journals. And one journal he said this word, he made a commitment. I place no value on anything I have or possess except in relations to the kingdom of Christ. Year before he died, he wrote this on his birthday, 59th birthday. My birthday, my Jesus, my King, my life, my all, I again dedicated my whole self to Thee. If this is your reply to God, God called you over and over again. How you say, here am I. I rededicate my life today, again and again. That is the way that David Livingstone used by God greatly. E is that excited to hear God's voice. And the D, the desire to see God's people. Desire to see God's people. And verse 18 said this word, at once something like the scales fell from his eyes, and he regained his sight, and then he got up and he was baptized. What happened to Paul? When he had the heart to come and to rush to the Christians in the city of Damascus, what happened to him? Did God allow him to come and to heart hurt his people? No. God called by name, Saul, Saul, why you persecute me? God protected his people. And so he lost his eyesight for 3 days. He could not see. What would be the first things you wanted to do when you do not able to see? He could not see for 3 days. I'm sure, obviously, he wanted to see the people who came along with him. He wanted to see the people there in the disciples in the city of Damascus. He wanted to see because he lost his eyesight. How many people today, they have lost the spiritual eyesight, they cannot see? They said 1.7 billion people in the world today, they have never heard the name Jesus. We had an awesome task today. The people are spiritually blind. Here, the Paul was blind to experience what the darkness means, so he can be used as God's instrument in his suffering to bring people to the light of Jesus Christ is the light of the world. And that we need, he had the desire to see the God's people. It's a miracle to see. It's a miracle to see the people. You know, don't take a granted that you have a friends sitting next to you, same classroom for years. It's good to have a friends and to see know each other. It's what are the God's gift that we have? We have eyesight to see. How much more that we can see the spiritual eyesight to see the glory of our Lord. It's a wonderful thing. I know that a Korean pastor, Reverend John An, last over 25 years, he was a pastor ministering to blind in Seoul, Korea. He himself was blind. At age 37, he lost his eyesight. He could not see anyone. He struggled. His wife and the children left him. He went through the hardship in the time, but yet, and that he found the companion. He found the people. And when he came to a church in Boston, preached a couple of times, and I asked him, what do you want to do most? What do you want to see most? He said, I want to see the people around me, my family. I want to see my people in the church. I want to see. And also, I want to see the sky that is blue, you are saying that. What a miracle that you have. What is the God's grace they have? You're able to see people all the time. We have to read the Bibles. We have to read the books. It's the God's miracle that you give. It's the grace of God that God gave to us. And there was a blind man in the Seder. And Jesus touched him. And Jesus asked him, what do you see? I see the people like walking like a tree. But yet, Jesus touched his eyes the second time. Now what do you see? I see clearly. Is not the Christ want to touch your eyes second time? Do you want his touch a second time? To see the people around, to see the purpose of God clearly in your mind, this is what the God is working in the midst of this amazing grace that he does. And not only that, it's just a miracle to see people, but it's a miracle to obey God's command. What happened to the Paul? After his eyes was opened, he able to see the people, he immediately obeyed the God's command in baptism. He was baptized to start his ministry in a totally new way, in the way of Christ. William Carey, he was known as the father of founding, the father of modern missions. From England, he went to India, spent most of time. And William Carey, he was out of poor man. I went to his home, his church in England. And I went to also, then he left in 1793. He went to India, spent the rest of his time translating the Bengali, the literatures, and the Bibles. The many things he has done, God used him greatly. He had a great expectation from God. William Carey, it took him 7 years to baptize his first convert. The first baptized at the Krishna Dipal in 1800 at the river. Just a few years ago, I went to the place. I visited the place that where his first convert was baptized, rivers across to his home and the school, Seraphim and college. William Carey had a man who obeyed, and he even baptized Adrian Johnson, who became Congregationalist, became a Baptist, and went to Myanmar and continued the baptism ministry. And the scripture tells us this word, go therefore make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them all things I have commanded you. Lo, I am with you to the end of age. It's making disciples, baptize them, and teaching the word of God, so they will do it again, continue on, recycle next generation. As a baptism, Southern Baptists, we need the more baptism. And the more the newcomers be baptized, the church continue to grow. We need the more of those. And then last is you, it's urgent. Urgent to proclaim the God's word. Urgent. Verse 20 says, immediately, it's urgent. He began proclaiming Jesus in the synagogues. He is the Son of God. It was amazing. Who ever thought that the Paul, who was a persecutor, became a preacher of the word, proclaimed Jesus Christ? It is amazing grace. Any one of you proclaimed to share your faith and to someone about Jesus Christ, how we were in the past. It is amazing grace to know that. Here the Paul has preached the one thing. He had one assignment. The one assignment was to preach Jesus. Preach Jesus. That's his assignment, to preach. How much more do the pulpits in America, we need to preach Jesus from the pulpit? Our life in the churches, we need to focus on Jesus Christ, that he is the Lord of life. He is coming again. One day he's come to restore his kingdom. And he will greet the church, the bride, to come. And Christ is coming. We have to preach. I had a privilege when I went to Southwestern. I chose the church to attend as the first go to church in Dallas. When Dr. Christopher was a pastor, Sunday after Sunday, two morning services, and they exactly the same as this great man and a preacher of the word. He spoke about preaching on Jesus Christ. My heart was melted. My heart was moved. And so many people, hundreds and thousands of people in that time, and by the preaching of Jesus Christ by Dr. B. Criswell, great man, great the preacher of the word, was known as a 20th century Charles Spurgeon. I had a privilege, even ordained that church, 1976, over 30 years ago. Went there from back to Hawaii to start a church and continue on to my ministry. And I had the privilege of Dr. Paige Patterson. He was my ordination preacher. As a preaching of the Christ, that is the assignment. And 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5 says this word, "For we are not proclaiming ourselves, but Jesus Christ as the Lord." Our assignment is preaching Jesus Christ. Not of ourselves, but of Christ, of His life, His death, His resurrection, His coming again second time, and His judgment, and His kingdom we have to preach. And 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, he said to his spiritual son, Timothy, he said, "Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exalt with great patience and instructions." Not only the one assignment, but it's one message. That is an urgent message we are to proclaim there. And that is a message, it simply is that Jesus is the Son of God. That is our message. Our message we have to preach is that Jesus Christ, not any other things. Jesus is alone in the midst of the elite in the Ivy League universities. And I'm speaking about Jesus Christ. He is alone. He has a power. He can change. People can experience amazing grace by the life of Jesus Christ when they know Him. I previously baptized many young people in our church. And they continue to remain in our church in the care of the ministry and Harvard, MIT, and BC, BUBC, Tufts, Wesley, and Brandeis. And these people are the leaders in the future. God brought you for a purpose that you be here at Union University. I want you to reevaluate yourself while you're here. Billy Graham was a well-known Baptist, the preacher and evangelist around the world. What he does, and all that he does is his simple message. The message that Jesus is the Son of God. When he came to Harvard University Chapel a few years ago, I met him there. And he preached that in the midst of all the intellect. And he preached this simple message. The simple message was the true meaning of the cross. How appropriate, how so touched the lives of people. It does not matter how intelligent the people be, they need to know the truth. And it's the wisdom of God. That is what they need to hear. It's an amazing grace to experience. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2 says, 1 Corinthians 2 and 2 says, Paul said to the church in Corinthians, "For I determined to know nothing among you except that Jesus Christ and Him crucified." Why did Jesus was crucified? For you and for me, that we may experience amazing grace to know Him, to serve Him in our time. King David he served the purpose of God in his generation. So likewise, you're here in Jackson, Tennessee. Whatever the God will lead you in the future, next 10, 20, 30 years and 40 years in your lifetime, be faithful to God's call and to serve Him, to touch, to lead the people, they may experience amazing grace. I want to share with you and this to challenge you, leave this word to you, that you are to experience amazing grace. Let's pray. Father, we thank you all the blessings you have given to us. You are the Lord of life. You are merciful God. You are compassionate God. You are forgiving God. Thank you, Father, that we experience amazing grace, that you brought, Lord, these people here to this campus. They may continue experience of your amazing grace. They may experience to hear the God's voice. They may see the people of God, not take it granted what they see, that God's given the eyesight to see. And they may see the word of God and to understand the truth of God's word in their life, to apply them into their life. And that they may have urgency to go out to proclaim in the community and to the ends of the earth, to preach that Christ Jesus is the Lord of life. Thank you, Father, all that you do. You be with them and their family members. They will continue, Lord, to dedicate themselves in school and study and go on forth from here to professions in grad school and to continue to serve you, Lord, amazingly. Thank you, Father, all that's been done. In Christ, we pray. Amen. May God's blessings on you.